This is The Finer Things, written by Beware the Ides 15 and read by Tipsy Kitty. It really is an excellent brandy. My point being, Steed continues, correcting his pour as a small splash cascades over the backs of his fingers instead of into the snifter. Liquid turns the slide of rings slippery against his skin. Black is timeless, and a dash of red has a certain dynamism, but why? He takes a sip, heady notes of honey and dried fruit blooming across his tongue. A very fine drop indeed. Also, perhaps just a tick stronger than he'd recalled, considering the vague sense of vertigo that hits him as he pivots back to the sitting area. That might also be the quantity. Why shouldn't a pirate flag enjoy a bit of vibrancy? Black flags on the horizon could be any crew of scallywags, but a brilliant goldenrod or a vivid cerise, now that's recognizable. It's possible it has a bit more experience in the business of drink than Steed. His current state of repose on the sofa looks only slightly loungier than usual, though Steed's very well aware he's partaken just as much. He's very thoughtfully kicked off his boots before draping one leg down the length of the couch, the other still planted on the ground, bad knee listing to port, widening the V of his legs. The wavy skein of his hair is draped over the back of the lounge like a moonlit waterfall, arms laying loosely across his lap, almost relaxed. The only sign of the ever-present energy that animates him evident in the titter-tap of his fingertips across the tops of his thighs. He takes the refilled glass from Steed's hand as Steed sits back down on the opposite chair with a nod of cheers and a flash of shockingly warm skin against his knuckles. Ed always seems to run hot, which sounds frankly unbearable considering all the leather he wears. Steed knows he's been in it, and for all the admitted aesthetic value, it's decidedly lacking in breathability. Now a nice linen, that would be properly breezy. Something with a bit of drape. Maybe a pale blue, or, oh, a soft lilac would be very fetching against Ed's skin tone. And Steed clearly isn't paying enough attention, because when Ed's slightly gnarled toes nudge at his calf, he startles badly enough to nearly spill his brandy all over again. Listen, yeah, Ed says, obviating the entire statement by taking an overlarge slug of his drink. The pink dart of his tongue that follows after is almost hidden by the shadow of his mustache. I've been thinking. How would you feel about, The sound of the leather of his glove grating against his trousers seems loud in the quiet as he traces the length of his thigh up to his hip, restless fingers tap-tapping away against the steel of a fastening. Lending a hand? That flash of pink makes another appearance at his lip, replaced lightning fast by an unsteady upward tilt that's within throwing distance of a smile. There's something maddeningly diverting about Ed that Steed hasn't quite managed to put his finger on, a sort of innate presence that makes him take up far too much space in Steed's head any time they're in the same room. Case in point, Steed is being unforgivably rude, just sitting here staring. Of course, he exclaims, perhaps a bit too loud to make up for the awkward beat of silence. Then, in a more moderate tone that hopefully recaptures the sense of sailory camaraderie that had been going so well for them this evening. Always happy to help, co-captain. He's just turned about to set his brandy down on the side table. Honestly, best to give it up for the evening anyway. It's obviously playing havoc with his manners. Casting about for his coat, and just wondering if perhaps he ought to wake Lucius up to record this momentous occasion when Blackbeard personally asked for Steed's help with something or other. And then he's looking at Ed's endowment. Just there, out in the open, framed by the loose flap of Ed's fly and not, Steed cannot emphasize enough, not in any way contained by Ed's trousers. It's very... Steed isn't entirely sure how one would go about describing a penis. Besides erect, obviously. Obviously erect. Gosh. Nice change. Ed shrugs, rings glinting bright against the dark thatch of hair at the base of his penis as he scratches through it with blunt nails. More than somebody else doing it, you know. Steed does his level best to look like the kind of man who absolutely does know. Better yet, like the kind of man who might not, in the near future, be in need of smelling salts. Yes, well, Steed's tongue appears to have melted onto the roof of his mouth. It's only... He works up a cough, which remarkably manages not to eject his heart from where it's lodged behind his Adam's apple. Takes a rather more hearty sip of his suddenly flavorless brandy. He really ought to try looking at something other than Ed's penis. It's terribly distracting. And Ed expects him to touch it. Or, more precisely, expects him to know how to go about touching it, as if it's the sort of thing that passes between compatriots all the time. Perhaps it does with pirates. Steed certainly walked in on enough canoodling around the ship to suggest that might be the case. And in school, plenty of the other lads had done it with their friends. Not Steed, of course, because that sort of thing required friends in the first place. Still, it's entirely possible that men go about doing this sort of thing for one another on a regular basis, and Steed's just never been involved. Entirely logical, really. It's been a while since I... Have his hands always been this damp? That doesn't seem right. Being the captain, hierarchies and such, you know how it is. Don't want anyone thinking they're getting special favors. Oh yeah, Ed agrees easily. Was on a ship once where the cabin boy got made first mate that way. Ended in a mutiny. Terrible business. The ragged nailed fingers that were splayed around his... phallus, perhaps? Or maybe knob would sound more apt under the circumstances. Leastways, Ed's fingers shift upward, wrapping briefly around the girth for a perfunctory little squeeze. A thin sheen of fluid leaks from the tip, leaving it diamond-studded in the flickering light. But as we're co-captains now, Ed trails off, the next flex of his fingers down his own length, anything but perfunctory. Those dark eyes cast a glance at the empty space on the couch, squarely between the akimbo sprawl of his legs. Steed's stomach swoops like cresting a wave, the intoxicating rush that could just as easily be thrill as fear brushing backward through his veins. Right, right, right you are. Miracle of miracles, Steed is standing. Or, rather, stumbling. Knees gone frightfully gelatinous in the three-step space between his chair and the lounge. Sitting, yes, sitting is very good. Very safe. Right here, with Ed's long, lean thigh pressing heat into his hip, and his knob really quite present and accounted for. Can ears sweat? Steed thinks his ears might be sweating. Right, he says again. This is going swimmingly. Possibly he's been just a hint less subtle than he'd imagined, because Ed halts the slow, teasing rhythm he'd set up and says, with something like hesitancy in his voice, "You don't have to." Something that might actually be hesitancy, in fact. It's hard to say without looking at his face, and Steed doesn't appear to be able to do that. To look at anything, as a matter of fact, besides the lush plum shade of the head of his penis contrasting the sun-stained tawny of his fingers. No, it's... Now it's Steed's turn to wet his lips. He misses his brandy. Why did he leave it so far away? It's what pirates do, isn't it? Ed starts to sit up, leather creaking against itself. Says, if you don't want to. Just at the same moment that Steed blurts, so I'll just... And then his hand is on Ed. Or, more to the point, around him. Ed makes an indescribable, unblackbeardly sound caught somewhere between a moan and a peep, flopping back against the cushions like his strings have been cut. He feels firm, positively scalding hot against Steed's palm, silky skin shifting as Steed gives an experimental tug, not so terribly different from doing it to himself, albeit from a strange angle. Fuck, you have soft hands, Ed breathes. Soft hands. Rich boy hands. Little baby bonnet hands. And of course Ed wouldn't enjoy that. A strong, rugged man with hands calloused from real work. Accustomed to the same. He wouldn't. He couldn't. Sorry. Steed starts to let go, feeling seared in an entirely different way. But he's barely loosened his hold before Ed's is clasped around his wrist. No, no, it's good. This time the words are less of a breath than a gasp, wild enough that it surprises Steed into finally meeting his eyes, dark and earnest, faintly glazed beneath the cinder flutter of his eyelashes. That's fucking good. The thigh behind Steed tenses, nudging him slightly closer with the flex of Ed's hips pressing up into his hand. Like rubbing my prick on an exquisite cashmere or something. Oh, well, that's rather flattering, all things considered. Steed does pay special attention to his skincare regimen, and it's always pleasant to have one's efforts appreciated, after all. Also, he's not sure anyone has ever called him exquisite before, even indirectly. So he firms his grip again, gratified by the huffed half-moan that ekes out from between Ed's teeth. Another bead of fluid from the head is his reward for the next stroke, growing in confidence with every smothered sigh and stuttered thrust of hips he gets from Ed. It's gratifying, actually, watching Ed's usual unruffled facade crack slightly, a budding sense of power sending white-hot tendrils through him at the ruthless Blackbeard eroding like sand beneath the tide for the simple pleasure of Steed's hand on him. Arousing, too. In an entirely natural, sympathetic reaction and aesthetic appreciation, of course. Ed's handsome by any measure, especially like this. His breeches riding low over the ridges of his hip bones with every motion, the muscles of his belly just above them tensing as he drives up into the draw of Steed's fingers, arms flung over his head to paw at the back of the couch, eyes on its slits, locked on Steed. Steed's ears are most definitely sweating. "You might be more comfortable on the bed," he hears his own voice suggest, as if it's coming from somewhere else entirely. Has to resist the urge to check that they're still alone, even though everyone else is sure to have been asleep ages ago. If you wanted. Yeah. Ed's voice is tar thick and just as dark. Brilliant. It takes Steed several additional seconds to realize that he'll have to stop doing what he's doing in order for that to happen. Ed makes a great production out of standing. One long, sinuous, surprisingly graceful roll of muscle. Prick certainly feels more appropriate to the moment. Still out, he saunters over to the bed in a way that, frankly, should look absurd and, frankly, does a bit, right up until the point that he flips the catches on his jacket with the casual ease of the commonplace and sends it tumbling to the floor. It's not the sort of treatment Steed generally condones for one's clothing, but then Ed's undershirt is following after, and Steed rather forgets why he cared. Nothing he hasn't seen before, of course, but the sight of it rattles around inside Steed's skull with a different timbre now. No gut wound to contend with this time, for one, which Steed certainly considers an improvement. But there's also something to the contrast, the inky spill of darkness outside the windows, the shadows at the corners where the lamps don't reach, the hazy unsilence of the ship at night. All of it makes the lines of ink winding Ed's back and the uneven dapple of scars seem more personal, more private, than when they'd exchanged clothes in Steed's closet. The kind of weight to the air that compels you to whisper in a church, though this might, at best, be considered a very profane form of worship. A long, lusty groan fills the room as Ed slinks onto the bed, stretching, cat-like, before turning his face into the pillow.
"I like your ridiculous cabin,"
he mumbles into the pillowcase. Egyptian cotton, absolute murder to get a hold of, but completely worth it, before rolling onto his back. A serpentine ribbon of black and tan and silver draped across the crisp white sheets. Steed's never had much of an artistic eye, but he can't help but think Ed would be lovely in a portrait. Admittedly, a rather racy one at the moment. Technically speaking, as co-captain, it's your ridiculous cabin too, by rights. The fabric of Steed's breeches feels rougher than usual as he scrubs his palms against them on his way across the room. Catches himself just in time to double-check he hasn't left any unfortunate marks behind on the linen, thank goodness.
"I couldn't take your cabin, mate."
The wide sprawl of Ed's legs spills open a bit further as Steed gingerly seats himself on the edge of the bed, knee bumping knee as he bends to unpick the bows lacing his shoes and slip them free. "Of course, I insist." It's strange how arguing protocol with Ed makes him feel a bit less out of sorts about having just walked across a room with what he suspects is a very noticeable erection, so that he can perform a marital exchange on a man who is fast becoming, possibly, probably, all right, yes, genuinely, his dearest friend. It was always designed for family living anyway. Really too much for just me. He casts a quick glance around the room, the wide common area and the cozy library nook, the bathing chamber, the auxiliary closet, and thinks about how differently things have turned out from how he'd imagined when he first designed the ship. How unexpected to have these people, this life. How much better than he'd ever hoped, whispers a quiet, unkind part of his mind that he rarely indulges in. We could work out a schedule for the bed, or... When he looks back around, Ed's hand is on his own prick again, stroking slowly. And if Steed had thought him picturesque in the lamplight, it's really nothing on the silver-gray sheen that the waning moon casts across him through the window. Or we could discuss that later. The thing about Ed's smiles, Steed's noticed, is that they aren't big, or effusive, or eye-catching. But they feel that way, if you know how to look at them. Like uncut gemstones waiting for a polish. Right now, Steed's not entirely sure what's underneath Ed's smile, but there's something about the slant of it that speaks of fangs and things that lay in wait in the night. Looking at it, Steed knows precisely what it feels like to be set on fire. Come on, up here. Like this, Ed cajoles, tugging and arranging until Steed is laid out next to him on his side, propped up by one forearm. Close enough to smell the smoke and sea air that perfumes his hair, the stale sweat and iron and leather on his skin. Not any kind of appealing Steed's ever been familiar with, but fitting somehow. Close enough to catch the heat radiating off of him in a long line down Steed's front, smoldering through him in the still air. Close enough to feel the sharp hiss of breath Ed sucks in when Steed takes hold of him again and returns to his earlier endeavors.
Fuck, you're good at this,
Ed murmurs, dark lashes fitfully dusting his cheeks. The skid of his gloves rasping against skin is loud in Steed's ears as Ed sweeps his hands over his own torso, fingertips flirting at a nipple, the wing of a hip, before his left hand slips lower still. Got a real neck.
Thank you. You're doing very well also.
Ed's lips part in a breathy laugh as he fondles his own balls. Careful not to get in the way of Steed's precise tempo. It's still faintly marvelous that Ed finds him funny. A throaty sound squeezes out of Ed and echoes through Steed like a struck bell as he spreads his legs a bit more, pressed further back.
You got anything to, you know, slick up?
Slick. Steed's mind is as blank and desolate as a becalmed sea, any semblance of coherent thought clawing hopelessly at the surface of the idea of Ed, of his fingers. Steed's breath comes out like he's just climbed the rope ladder a dozen times over. Then, belatedly, I have an oil by the bath. It's really for hair care, but I could fetch it. Ed's back arches in a delicate bridge. His voice shredded when he huffs,
Nah, sorry. I'm used to just spit, aren't I?
White teeth flash in the light. A grin or a grimace, there's no telling. Scrape over the near-hidden shape of Ed's lower lip. Chased along the way by another flash of tongue. It's impossible to see what Ed's doing with his own hand, nothing to go on but the shift of muscle in his forearm, and how his prick flexes into Steed's fist with every stroke. The heat of it like a brand, surprisingly wet when Steed makes a daring swipe of his thumb across the head. It should be disgusting, the feel of it gumming up the webbing of his fingers. His, even. In a particular sort of way that makes Steed's teeth itch with the inexplicable urge to sink them into the curve of Ed's shoulder, the stretch of muscle lashed to his ribs. What a very strange evening this has turned out to be. Ed's breath stirs the hair by Steed's ear, sending a shiver trickling down his spine to nestle restlessly in his gut.
Reckoned you'd have a whole case of stuff to ease the way.
His free hand shifts against Steed's thigh. Cambers up to catch the edge of his pocket like a handhold, tugging hard enough to almost throw Steed off balance.
You know, in case you wanted to show somebody a good time. Or yourself.
Or whatever. His voice is pitching like a storm at sea, ground down like it's coming from his gut, only to spike, whispered, all over again.
Really don't do this much,
Maybe it's the brandy, or the jittery excitement trembling at the base of Steed's skull. The plucked string tension pooling in his hips, pounding in his prick. Or maybe it's the way Ed is laid out in his bed, shirtless and trousers half off. Ed, not Blackbeard, Ed, stripped not only of his leathers, but his aura of imperviousness, making himself touchable, literally and figuratively, for Steed's private audience. Maybe it's just that thing about Ed that's made Steed trust him right from the start. Whatever it is, it makes the idea of obfuscating at this particular moment seem unforgivable.
So what Steed admits, as he grips Ed a bit harder, twists just slightly for the joy of watching Ed's eyes roll behind the thin skin of his eyelids, is, I don't do this ever. This time, when Ed tugs at his pocket, it's hard enough it actually does yank Steed off balance, shaking shoulder going out from under him, so he almost entirely misses the locked-up, breathless strain that seizes Ed's body as he spills all over his own stomach and Steed's fist. Once upon a time, Steed had yearned for the sea, for a life of freedom and adventure. He had carried it inside him as a nameless ache at his core, tugging sweetly every time his eyes graced the horizon. The thing in his core just now isn't like that. This thing has barbs that sink further into his ribs with each breath, only instead of leaving him bleeding, they snarl through him instead, filling up the hollow places he hadn't realized were there, demanding his attention, refusing to be denied. The only name he can see it answering to is Edward. It's terrifying, is what it is. With strands of Ed's hair stuck to his lips, and Ed's spend on his hand, and the smell and heat and knowledge of him everywhere, just everywhere, to feel so much at once, to shake, not with weakness, but with restraint, as he starts to pull his hand away only to have it snagged once again in Ed's grip. Give me a second, man, he says, with a breathlessness that has nothing to do with the steel cuff he's made of his fingers around Steed's arm. The clatter of Steed's stampeding pulse must be obvious, but he doesn't mention it. His fingers are hot beyond the usual, hot from being inside of himself, Steed thinks madly, and wonders if this is what it feels like to lose one's mind. And it certainly must be. Because there could be no rational world in which the next thing Ed does is lift his free hand to his mouth without ever letting go of Steed, taking in those long fingers one by one and sliding his rings free with the curl of lips and tongue. Shiny with spit, they return to his palm, then, a moment later, clatter to the bed between them. His glove follows next, skinned off inside out, his teeth white against the black leather before it joins the rings. Ed's hand is hardly a novelty, but looking at the naked stretch of skin still feels unseemly somehow. For all the bare acreage of his arm and his jacket, there's very rarely anything else of Ed on display, practically every inch covered by leather or hair, just the top half of his face and fingertips and the occasional strip of belly, which makes, by comparison, the shape of the fine bones in the back of his hand catching the lantern glow feel positively obscene. Infinitely more so when the first thing he does with it is sloppily rub the semen off Steed's hand, swiping through the mess of it on his stomach until his fingers are covered. Zierturn, he slurs, more wobbly than he'd sounded 5 drinks in. Steed flails wildly, not prepared for the sudden shift as Ed flips to hover over him, knees wedged apart by the breadth of Steed's hips between them. His clean hand is deft on the buttons of Steed's breeches, fast enough that Steed barely has a moment to realize what's about to happen, before the cool kiss of air on his erection shocks a hiss out of him. Which is really nothing at all to the humiliating squeak of a sound that bleats out when it's Ed's hot, lovely hand wrapping around him instead. Been a while? Ed is grinning, eyes glittering like dark stars. Edward Bloody Teach is sending showers of pleasure all through Steed's nerves with the stroke of his hand, and smiling like it's all some private joke they're in on together. And Steed is a classic fool, because he never once in all of his life thought to want this until it was upon him. A while, Steed agrees numbly, presuming the definition of a while could be expanded to be measured in years. Even on his own is rare enough. At school there had never been many safe, private places where the other boys might not find him. And later, in his own home, it had felt rather rude, an implied insult to Mary. Now he has a safe, private place and no one to judge, but he still hasn't made it a regular habit. He'd thought it might be age, but the demanding flex of his prick in Ed's grasp rather belies that. Said you never tugged anybody off. The thick pad of a callus licks across the tip, the coarse flicker of pleasure jolting the breath from his lungs. Ever had a guy rub your cock? The motion Steed makes as the uneven edge of Ed's nail finds his slit could only reasonably be called a thrash, but Ed must take it for an answer anyway. More first for me, then, he smirks. He's rougher about it than Steed's ever been with himself. The toughened skin of his palm and the viscous lip of semen conspiring to create a sandpaper and silk drag that is truly compelling. Ed's own prick is still hanging from his undone trousers, fat and dark, and not quite soft, bouncing a little as his hips roll into empty air, apparently mindlessly, as if sensuality were pure instinct for him, as if he was made explicitly for this. It feels like he was made for this. Like every moment of their acquaintance that they weren't doing precisely this has been an utter, unforgivable waste of time. If this is what it's always like, he suddenly understands why half the crew can't keep their hands off each other.
Might want to tuck up that shirt, Ed points out. Wouldn't want to ruin your nice things.
Doesn't wait for Steed to process the realization that he's simply been laying here with his hands kneading kittenishly at the sheets this whole time, before Ed's doing the job himself. Rucking the linen up under Steed's armpits with a couple of rough shoves of his free hand. His touch lingers after, pulling away in a long, slow caress down the length of Steed's chest.
Look at you,
Ed mutters, the steady stroke over Steed's cock gone haphazard,
pale and smooth all over,
fine as a china teacup. It's strange to be looked at like this, in this situation, with this intensity. He and Mary had always tended their conjugal obligations in the dark, the sheets pulled over them, both lifting their nightclothes out of the way just as much as necessary. Something about Ed's eyes on him is more provocative even than the fingers pulling pleasure out of him in twitches and jags. Flattery doesn't suit you. It's a battle to keep his voice even, sheepishness and scraped raw vulnerability twining around his vocal cords like a snarl of thorns.
Finest thing I ever laid hands on.
One brown shoulder goes up, shrugging discordant against the sincerity of his tone. The words drag Steed down like undertow, filling his lungs with honey-thick lust and the molten, desperate urge to hide, even though there's nowhere he could possibly go. Instead, he finds himself groping at the worn soft leather covering Ed's knees, cautious of the braced one, squeezing like an echo. Though it's hard to tell whether it's of the back-and-forth zing of Ed's fist around him, or the brush of his other hand over Steed's chest, glove rasping against the smattering of hair there. A body-warm ring catches on the bump of his nipple, jarring a watery whine from between Steed's frantically clamped lips. Ed leaks out with it, blurred by the savage rush of velvet bliss up in his veins, almost unbearable. The burn of tension in his trapped thighs is bordering on pain as his body struggles to get more feeling, more contact, more anything, toes curling tight in his stockings, calves straining against the constriction of his garters.
Yeah, let's see you in a mess,
Ed hisses, rhythm speeding up.
Grime up this pretty skin for me.
And really, who is Steed to argue with an invitation like that? The tidal crush of it takes him unawares, the pressure that starts in his balls and unravels all the way through him, sweeping out everything else in a wash of hot-cold oblivion. Ed strokes him through it, beyond it, wringing it out of him mercilessly with increasingly anemic dribbles. Steed's body, it seems, is just as eager to surrender to Blackbeard as the rest of the Spanish Main. The sensation lingers even after Ed releases him, gently resting the softening length against his belly with a tender little fondle. Slightly stiffly, Ed clambers off of him, rolling to the side closest to the wall. He keeps his dirty hand tucked against his chest, well clear of the sheets, leaves it there despite the smudges of spend smearing over the lines of his tattoos as he lays beside Steed, staring up at the ceiling.
Is that all right?
He asks after a quiet minute, in which Steed tries valiantly to remember the English language.
Been told I talk too much during. You know, get wound up, say stupid shit.
Turning his head to the side feels like a monumental effort, but Steed manages it to take in the cameo silhouette of Ed's face burnished sterling. His eye flicks toward Steed, then back to the ceiling again, a full body's worth of tension crammed into the dark shine of them. Ironically, it might be the only scenario where I've never been told to talk too much. He tries for a smile, gets a furtive curve at the corner of Ed's mouth in return,
Yes, it was. Quite all right. Very effective, in fact. Thank you. The curve deepens, not quite blotted away by the way Ed rolls his lips between his teeth. Yeah, back at you. The silence stretches out thread thin, too pleased to quite be uncomfortable, but too stifling for anything else. Finally, the pressure of it jostles Steed into motion, sitting up and only barely remembering to catch the shirt still pushed up under his arms before it can fall into the mess on his stomach. I'll just get a towel, shall I? And now it is awkward, trying to slip his penis back into his breeches without losing hold of his shirt, and simultaneously shuffle over to his shaving vanity. Behind him, he hears the mingled brush of leather and cotton. Sure, I can bugger off, Ed says lightly. Get out of your hair. Steed's socks are slippery against the smooth floor, precarious when he turns to find Ed with one foot dangling over the edge of the bed, fishing for his abandoned shirt with his toes. It's your cabin too, remember? He manages to snag the cloth laying beside the wash basin and pitcher. You have to stay. You should take the bed. I've certainly gotten more than my fair share of use from it. Distracted as he is by wiping away the worst of the semen, a bath would really be the thing for it. But he doubts the crew would appreciate being roused at this hour for the purpose. And a well-slept crew is a happy crew, after all. He misses the entendre entirely until it's already hanging in the air like so much dirty laundry. Ed's still at the edge of the bed, doe eyes on him like he's watching for some sort of fuckery. He's tucked himself away, thankfully, but the flap of his trousers is only half done, the paler skin between his hips and the dark shock of hair below it a visual testament of what they've been up to, even without the shiny patches beginning to flake from his chest. Or, he says, because he is the kind of brave that Steed thinks comes from spending so long in danger that you forget fear's the thing tells you to protect yourself. Already proved it's big enough for both of us. The towel very nearly slips from Steed's fingers. That's practical, he settles on, over the roar of blood in his ears. This is mad. This whole night is mad, and this is the maddest of all because it's nothing. Because this is the sort of thing pirates do together all the time. And none of the stupid stuff that Ed said meant anything. He'd as much as admitted it. And the fact that Steed doesn't, evidently, possess the sort of fortitude to let him do this and hear that without feeling this way doesn't mean there's anything to it. It will go away. Far, far faster if he doesn't spend the night curled entirely too close to Ed. But then Ed gives him that lopsided smirk that wants so badly to be a smile and asks, "Yeah?" And there is only one possible answer in return. Yes. Steed takes a moment to fasten his breeches more fixedly before walking over and handing Ed the cloth, carefully folded with the clean side out. Ed begins wiping at the still damp patches on his skin, and Steed isn't at all prepared to deal with that. So instead, he turns about to the bureau and pulls out his favorite nightgown. Stripping out of his clothes right in front of Ed feels like a bit much after everything. Perhaps he ought to invest in a folding screen. So he keeps his back turned as he hurriedly shucks his shirt, sliding cool, clean silk over his head before he takes off the rest. Would you like to borrow a nightshirt? He asks over his shoulder, nearly tripping as he pulls his last sock free. It's the sort of offer he'd make if they hadn't just done things. So it's the right thing to do now. He gets back. Nah, this works. And another rustling sound that has to be Ed settling into bed. Steed busies himself about the cabin, dousing the lanterns and candles around the far edges of the room. Out of anything else to do with himself, Steed turns around and yes, indeed, Ed is back in his bed, still on top of the sheets. He's on his front, the pillow mounded up underneath his head and both hands shoved beneath it. He's still wearing his trousers, though everything else has stayed off. Looks nice, though, on you, Ed adds, after what seems like a terribly long moment. That, at least, is close enough to their accustomed dynamic that Steed can latch onto it. He's always enjoyed introducing Ed to the world of high-quality fashion. Thank you. He flounces a ruffle for effect, dousing the last two candles on the desk by the bed. It's a hammered silk, very... He catches himself, tongue gone dry at the memory of... Finest thing I ever laid hands on. in Ed's rich voice, very fine. With only the moonlight for guidance, who's to say what expression Ed's wearing as Steed slides into bed, the usually ample space made paltry by circumstance. He's left his nightcap somewhere, and his brain's too muddled to even remember now where it ought to be, so his hair is sure to look a fright in the morning, with Ed there to see it and all. He's just contemplating putting a shipwide ban on brandy as a corrupting influence, when he feels the featherlight touch of Ed's fingers at his cheek, there and gone again in an instant. "I expect it is," comes from the darkness beside him. Ed doesn't say anything else, but Steed keeps hearing it for a long while before he finally manages to fall asleep. The end.